is Daf Lamed. My voice is still not back yet. I'm sorry. So the top line, yesterday we were talking about a machlokas between Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan about chametz on Pesach, b'mashu, b'mino, shlo b'mino, lachas mano, all the different cases. So Gemara now paskin to halach l'maisa. So Gemara says, Amar Rava hilchasa chametz bizmano, bein b'mino, bein shlo b'mino, aser b'mashu. So the din is, chametz bizmano, chametz on Pesach itself, is aser even in mashu, whether or not it's in b'min, whether or not it's b'shlo b'mino, the din is it's aser b'mashu. That's how we paskin. And Kirav, like we saw yesterday's daf, that the shita we had Rav felt that chametz is aser b'mashu. Well, we saw Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish that it was aser b'nosin tam. We paskin like Rav, it's aser b'mashu. Shlo b'zmano, when it's not b'zman, meaning la'achar Pesach, bein b'mino, bein shlo b'mino, mutter, Rabbi Shimon. Rav paskins like Rabbi Shimon that after Pesach, it's actually mutter. There's no concern of any iser chametz after Pesach. So the Gemara says, is that really true? Does Rabbi Shimon really say that way? That's mutter la'achar Pesach? Does Rav really say that in Rabbi Shimon? Rav himself. Rav himself holds that Rabbi Shimon knasa kanas hov avar loved by Rav by Yimatzah. That Rabbi Shimon held, even though Mikra din chametz after Pesach is actually mutter, but he said there's a knas, so there should at least be a knas of the iser chametz after Pesach. And the Gemara says you're right. But hani mile be'en aval al yedei tarovis lo. When Rabbi Shimon felt that there's a knas of chametz shavua Pesach. That's only true when it comes to chametz etz be'en. But chametz ayidei taroves, so then it'll be mutter. So what comes out, halacha l'maaseh is, chametz is aser b'mashu on Pesach. La'achar Pesach, chametz is aser, if it's be'en, ayidei taroves, it's actually mutter. Rashi points out here, look at Rashi, three lines down, narrow lines down. Rashi says, aval ayidei taroves lo, v'afilu shehiya be'en v'avra le'a, lo karnis lemesar taroves delay. Let's say during Pesach a person held on to it while it was be'en. It only got mixed ayde taroves after Pesach. There, that's actually also considered mutter according to Rabbi Shimon. Meaning it doesn't have to be that you held on to it during Pesach ayde taroves. It could have been held on to as be'en and was only mixed afterwards. That would also be mutter according to Rabbi Shimon. It's only us to Rabbi Shimon if it was held on to during Pesach and still remained be'en lacha Pesach. That's the area that's aser. Outside of that, it's actually going to be mutter.
It's also b'mashu, if it's not betarovis, or it's b'kizayis, or something.
It's afil b'mashu.
Afil b'mashu.
Yeah. So then the Gemara says, v'azda rava l'tame, rava goes to shitaso, dama rava ki avinan be'rav, Nachman, when I was in the house of Nachman, ki ava nafki shiva yomei depischa, when the 7 days of Pesach, nafka left, was over, amar lan, he told us, rava told us, poke, go out, vizrine chamira to bnei chayla. Go buy chametz for the bnei chila. Bnei chila were the soldiers. They were goyim. Rashi says nachim, and afa pi says Rashi show few yom zeh she'avra hu pesach. Even though they baked and it was chametz from Pesach, since they were nachim, they were not subject to the gzeira of chametz. Therefore, one would be allowed to go ahead and buy from them because he felt that's mutter lachar Pesach. It's not a iser in the chefta, and it only applies to the particular people, the Jews who owned it. And therefore, it's mutter. That's according to Shitas Rava, who paskins like Rabbi Shimon. There is an interesting discussion to Ricky's point about what happens to Tarovas after the fact. What would we say if the chametz fell in afterwards? Would it be us b'mashu, or is there some nosin tam? So now I'm remembering there's actually machlokas rishonim. After Pesach, how do we say there's a bit of chametz? Chametz is aser, but now after Pesach, if it gets mixed in a Tarovas, at what point do we say the chametz is batal? Machlokas rishonim. Some hold that's batal the rov. Others say you need shishim kinegedit. So that's a big machlokas rishonim. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins that's batal b'shishim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes many others say all you need is bitul b'rov. You don't actually need shishim, and we assume bitul b'rov is enough to be mevatel the chametz.
It's after Pesach.
After Pesach, right? So then the Gemara says halfway down, Amarav kederos b'pesach yishbru. The din is Rav holds, not Rava. We just hold like Rava. Now Rav says any kederos you have on Pesach, that has chametz in it, you have to break it. Nothing, you can't kasher it, you have to break it. Why is that? So if you look at Rashi, halfway down, Rashi says, I'm a Rav. Kederos b'Pesach yishbru. Rav l'tamei, we saw yesterday's daf, d'amar chametz af la'achar zmano aser b'ana k'reb Yehuda, v'ishle b'mashu. So he holds that chametz is aser b'mashu, even la'achar Pesach, and therefore it's broken, nothing you can do with it. So now he holds, he makes two assumptions here. He holds number one is that aser chametz is aser after Pesach. Number two is the kasavar nosin tam lefkam is mutter. What's nosin tam lefkam? Tam, whenever there's taste, if 24 hours passes, we assume that's nosin tam lefkam. That's a bad taste. But he held, even though 24 hours have passed, in this case, 7 days has passed, still he holds, no sin tam of kam is actually usher. We don't hold like this sheet of Rav for two reasons. One is, we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Shimon, that chametz lachar Pesach is actually mutter. Number two is, we also hold no sin tam of kam is actually mutter, so we don't hold like Rav for these two different reasons, but at least within the world of Rav, he felt that the kederos that have a chametz that's embedded in the walls, nothing you could do with it, you have to break the pots. So Gemara says, why have to break the pots? Why don't you la lishinu v'amai lishinu achar Pesach v'la'aved bu shlobamino? So why don't you hold on to the pots and after Pesach you could use it? Because if you remember from yesterday's daf, Rav only felt it's usser to use chametz only if chametz is bimino is an usser. But if it's shlobamino, even Rav himself allowed a person to use the chametz after Pesach. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says v'la'aved bu shlobamino dam modi Rav la'el. Rav agreed above. Chametz shelo bezmano, shelo bemino, bemashu is actually mutter. V'hai, mashu chashavlu. So why don't you let the kederos wait until after Pesach and make sure not to use it with the same min as the chametz. If the chametz was wheat, so use the pot with spelt or something like that. So why don't you let it stay for that reason? There's still a use for the kedera. So the Gemara says there's a gezera, dilma asu lemeved bu bemino. There's a chashash that perhaps if they leave the pot around, he might end up using it with the same type, wheat, and that would be a problem. So therefore, he said, you have to get rid of the pots. So we don't paskin that way. But then, the Gemara says, Shmuel held otherwise. Shmuel amar lo yishbru aval mashalu l'achar zmano vavdu bein bemino bein shlobezmino bemino. Shmuel felt that, no, don't break the pots. They still have a use. Wait till Pesach's over. Even though there's chametz embedded in the walls, he held, Shmuel said, after Pesach we hold like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no Isser after Pesach, and you're allowed to use the Ide Teroves, Bein Bimino, Bein Shelo Bimino. And that's how Shmuel paskins. And based on this, by the way, there's a discussion in the Rishonim, whether or not one violates Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, on chametz that's embedded in the walls of the Kedera. If I own chametz, that's a problem. It's Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. But let's say my pots have it. I didn't cash my pots. Is that a problem? So the Rima Gash learns from here that you do not violate Bayer Bayi Matzeh from the chametz, the tam embedded in the walls. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to leave it, hold on to it through Pesach. So that's what he assumes from this Gemara. Either way, we see Shmuel holds, you're allowed to hold on to the pot and use it after Pesach. And the Gemara brings a raya, Azda Shmuel Atame. Shmuel goes to Shitaso. Damer Shmuel, Shmuel says, Lahanu dimizvene kande, ashvu Zvine achan dichu, which means, I'll read the Rashi in just a second, those people who would sell kederos after Pesach, you shouldn't raise the prices. Rashi says, kandu is kederos, pots. Lachar Pesach, people who would sell pots after Pesach, ashru zvineichu, I'll make the zvina, the price, ashru shave, make sure it's market value, al talu demeyam yosem ishaveyam, don't make it higher than price, don't spike up the prices. So after Pesach, people had, they wanted to buy new pots after Pesach. He says, don't hike up the prices. Why not? Because be low. If you don't listen to me and you make the price very high, darshinu luchu k'Rebbe Shimon. Shmuel says, I'll pass like Rebbe Shimon and say that you're allowed to use all the dirty pots and pans you could use from your house, even though there's chametz in it, you could use it and you don't have to buy new pots. I'm going to make your business fall apart. So don't raise the prices. If you stay market value, I won't pass in that way. Otherwise, I'll say pass like Rebbe Yehuda and they'll go ahead and throw out their old pots and buy new pots. So, Gemara says, so we see clearly he was very comfortable passing like Rabbi Shimon. Because Shmuel held, Mikra Din, we hold like Rabbi Shimon, that Chametz Lacha Pesach is Mutter. So Gemara says, wait a second. If he holds like Rabbi Shimon, V'lidjushlu, why doesn't he hold like Paskin, Dashmuel, Rabbi Shimon? Why didn't he say, L'chachila, don't buy new pots? If you really hold like Rabbi Shimon, all your old pots with Chametz are completely Mutter now. So why were you saying, go buy new pots, but if they're very expensive, oh, then I'll pass like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara explains because Svir Le Asrei D'Rav Hava. He held like Rabbi Shimon really, but it was in the place of Rav. The Psak was in Rav's Makom. In the place of a certain Rebbe, you can't go against the Psak of the Rav. So Rav held that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that all these pots are apostle or usher. So he said, okay, we'll pass like Rav in this place and go buy new pots. But if you're going to tell me you're going to raise the prices because it's a high demand, I'm going to go out and pass like Rabbi Shimon. So the Ritva and Ervin points out, we see from here, it's not usher to go against the psak of the rav of the community, if you're a rav in your own right. It's the right thing to do, it's derech eretz, but if there's a certain reason to change that psak, one would be allowed to, even if it's in the asra of a particular rav. Okay, the Gemara now says, last five lines of the, six lines of the page here. Hahu tanura, the tachu beiticha asre rava bar alai lemechle lerifsa afil b'milcha liolam. Dilma asre lemechle bekuchscha. I'll explain that. Read that inside one more time. The person, let's say, smears his oven with some fat, some fleshic fat. It's asr to eat any bread made in that food because you might come to eat with milchik. So again, hahu tanur, a certain oven, the tachu beiticha, they rubbed it with some fatty meat. And asr rava bar ahilai lemechle lerifsa, you can't eat this bread ever. Afilu b'milcha, even to eat it with salt, which is certainly fine, but liolam, forever you can't eat any bread. Dilma asr lemechle bekuscha, you might end up eating with milchiks. So this is a din that you can't make fleshik bread, you can't make milchiks bread. There are two aterim. The Gemara talks about in a different Gemara and Pesachim here, that the two aterim are if there's a different size or a different shape. There's something a heker. So let's say you want to have like cheese berekas, for example. So now it's a cell. The cheese berekas look different than the tail berekas. One's rectangle, one's triangular. So you know it's different, something different about it, because it looks like a regular challah bread and it happens to be made of milchiks, I might eat with my fleishik's meal. So the only aterim to have a fleishik bread or a milchiks bread is to have it a different shape or a different size. English muffins is the big discussion. That's milchiks. How is that allowed? So some say the fact that it says like O-U-D on the English muffins is enough of a hecker to know that's dairy to remind people. But it's a big shaila whether or not even that would be permitted based on just a sign. It perhaps has to be in the way the bread was made. Either way, we see it's usher tea bread baked in a fleishik oven that makes the oven actually fleishik. Doesn't have to be. It could be an old one that I now suddenly started to smear with oil in it, fatty oil, and then... No, well, the Gemara is going to ask the question right now. But right now it says liolam afil achazer v'husak. Gemara is going to say we can kasher this type of oven. We'll see. At this point, we don't know anything about kashering. All we know about we broke kderos. No suggestion of kashering up until now. We started from Maseches Brachos. I don't think we came across any place yet where we talked about kashering yet. Did we? Any zichru guys here? I don't think we introduced kashering just yet. This is the first time we're going to introduce kashering right now.
Even after you,
that's what it says. Right, afil achazer v'husak. We said even after you fire, kashering doesn't work. So the Gemara says, "Meisive ein lashin esa isa bechalav." You cannot knead dough with milk. Vim lash kolapas kula aser. And if you do, that dairy bread is aser forever. Mipnei herga veira, because people are going to come eating it with fleishik. So milk bread is aser. Koyotze bo in a similar fashion, says the Gemara, "Ein tachin esa tanur balya." You can't use the fat of the tail of an animal to smear the oven. Vim tash kolapas kula asura, and the bread is aser. Ad sheyasek as a tanner. I was asking until you fire up the oven, meaning kasher the oven. Put it at 550. Put it at. Someone asked me last night. He has a oven. He just bought an oven which could go to 900 degrees. Some special oven, a pretty hot oven. So if you get it pretty high, above 550, typically that's enough to kasher an oven. So the Brisa says, make it high. Ad sheyasek, fire it up, and you kasher the oven. So as the Gemara says, as a tanner, ha husak a tanner miyashari. If you do fire up the oven, it's allowed. So how come on Amun Aleph we just said before that this oven's usher forever, but here it says just kasher. And the Gemara says, you're right, Echanabi, Tiyufta de Rava bar Ahilai, Tiyufta to Tiyufta Tim. I'm not sure why he didn't embrace this, but we assume we paskin that one can kasher the oven. Now, it's possible, I'm just suggesting now, because I was talking to the same guy last night, he had one of these seasoned grills also. Those, some say you can't kasher them, because it's embedded in the walls, there's always that oil coming out. No matter how high you make it, I'm not sure if you can even kasher them because it's somehow the way it's made. The pores of the oven walls may not be able to be kashered. So maybe you had some type of oven where the oil would drip out every single time you use it. Kashering may not work. So I don't know the Matzias, but either way, there's a tiyufta against Rava bar Ahilai. Okay. Marnell says, four lines down. Samarle Ravina the Ravashi v'chim acher the osos of Rava bar Ahilai. So after we've challenged Rava Bar Hilai that he should have known we could kasher things, it seems like he didn't know about kashering. So now we could ask the question: Am I kama Rav Kederos bePesach Yishpru? How come in Amun Aleph Rav said break the Kederos? We should be able to kasher them, put them in the oven, boil hot water, whatever way Hagala Libun, whatever way you want to do it. Why did he say break the Kederos? So the Gemara says Amar Le Hasam Tanur Shemateches Hacher. It depends on the material. We know not every material is kasherable. Again, this is the first time I think we're really being introduced to kashering things. So when it comes to mateches, metal we know can be kasher. When it comes to cheres, when it comes to pottery of some sort, anything made from the earth, that cannot be kashered. So Rashi points out here, two lines down, Amar le Rav, mokim le lahi, dekatani ad sheyusak, the case where you can kasher it by heating up the oven, demashma ha husak, if you did fire it up, shari betanur shamateches, that's a metal oven. aval shalcheres was made of pottery, haTorah ha'idu alav she'ena yotze midei dofav liolam. It's impossible to ever take out all the tam, all the flavor that's embedded in kli cheres. It's going to remain, at least something will always remain there, and therefore it would be usher and impossible to kasha them. So the kederos Rav was talking about made of kli cheres, those can't be kasha, you must break. But if it was kederos of matechas, ena chanami, you could kasha. The Gemara says, alternatively, maybe both the Tanur and the Klecheres are both made of Klecheres. But it's different. Hava ha b'shalcheres. V'zeh ha'seken b'mifnim, v'zeh ha'seken b'b'chutz. One of them is fired up from the inside, one's fired up from the outside. A kedera, you put the fire on the outside of it. An oven, the fire is on the inside of the oven. So the difference is that the way to kasher something has to be on the inside of the pot. Putting fire on the outside won't be effective. So since the tanur is fired up from the inside, that kashers the tanur. But the kederos, when the fire is on the outside, that is not a way to kasher things, they won't work. So the Gemara says, so v'chi tema hachanami, lever le hasaka mibifnim. So by the kederos, why don't you put the fire on the inside? Put some coals in the kedera of cheres, and then you have fire on the inside, and that would also kasher. Why does Rav suggest to break the kederos? Put the fire on the inside. So the Gemara says, achayis alayu mishum depaka. Because a certain kederos may have klei cheres, so you make it too hot, it's going to pop, it's going to break, it's going to crack. And therefore, if you put coals on the inside of the kedera, a guy's choshesh, he might break, and therefore he's not going to let it get high enough, the temperature, and he'll remove it before the fully kashering. Therefore, we don't allow you to do this. But an oven, where the oven was made in such a way where it's able to handle the high heat even on the inside, that can be kashered. Yeah. Lemaisa, we don't. But the Gemara suggests this, that this is at least an opinion, that it would work if it's used on the inside. In theory, it can be used, but we don't pass in this way. We never kasher anything made of klei cheres. The Gemara then says, Hilkach, therefore, Hai buchya, which is, where is that, Rashi? Rashi is a kli, shu mirafin shikorin tailish, vofin metagnibo kikar. It's what you use to bake and to fry things, it's a utensil. It's made of klei cheres, exactly. So this item, since the way you use the heat is only on the outside, there's no way to kasher. There's no way to kasher on the inside unless vimalyo gumri, if you fill up with coals on the inside, shaper dami, even this type of klei cheres, whatever utensil it is, would be kasherable if you put coals on the inside. But again, as Shapsi pointed out, we do not talachamaisa pasuk in this way. We do not allow one for kashering klei cheres. But again, this is in theory a way that can be done. Gemara now says on the same topic of kashering things for Pesach, Amarlei Ravina le Ravashi, Hani sakini v'pischa heich abdinalu. How does one kasher a knife for Pesach use? So Amarlei lididi chadasa kavdinan. I make new ones. I make brand new ones. Right? He goes and takes a metal, a wood, and he makes brand new knives every single Pesach. So Amarlei tinach mar de'efshalu. So great. You know, Ravina says to Ravashi, great for you. You're able to do so. But delo efshalei mai. What if a guy can't do this? Right? A guy can't afford to make new knives. He doesn't have the ability to. He doesn't have the skill to. What is a guy like that? He's stuck. He's no knives to use for Pesach. So he says, no. Amarlei ana kein chadasa kamina. I said, I don't actually make new knives. I make them like new knives. How do you make them like new knives? He says, I'll tell you how. Very simple. Kasayu. The kasayu is the handle, the wooden handle of the knife. Betinu. I cover up with mud, dirt. Uparzilinu benur, then I put the blade into the fire. He covered up the wood so the wood doesn't catch fire. So he covered up, he protected the wood, placed the blade in fire, libun, vahadar mailinu, the ktayu burtroson. And then I take the dirt, the mud off the wooden handle, I place the wooden handle in boiling water. So I kasher the blade with the libun, I kasher the handle with the hagala, and now my knife is kashered. So it's like brand new, but I wouldn't actually make new knives each Pesach. So the Gemara says, Hilchas, bottom line, Idi v'idi v'roschin u'bekli rishon. The truth is that you don't really have to do libun on the blade. It's enough to do hagala. We have the concept, kibalo kachpoto. However, it got heated up. That's the way you kasher. So you never put a knife in fire. A knife is used to cut a hot piece of meat. That's not fire. That's like a roschin. That's hagala. So hagala is enough to do both on the blade and on the handle. Now, Tosis points out on the top here, Dibar Maskal v'Hilchas, he quotes from the Gemara, Tosefta, Maseches Avodah Zarah, which says the way to kasher a knife is actually through libun, not hagala. Libun is a much higher way. Putting it to fire is a much higher way of hagala. So how come the Gemara says you need to do libun on a knife? Well, our Gemara says it's enough to do hagala. So Tosis gives two suggestions. One is, if you look inside Tosis, he says, V'tir to Rabbeinu Tam, halfway down the Tosis. Rabbeinu Tam answered Damar Yushami, Yushami, Dimari Bisakin Aruchin, when you require libun, it's talking about long knives, Shitsolin ben Basar Dumi Deshipud, where you actually put a meat on the end of the knife and you put it into the grill. So that's a type of knife that's mamish used in the fire, like skewers. So that's a type of libun. But a typical knife that we speak of in the house, that doesn't require libun. That's one explanation. A second explanation, Tosa says, V'yodei shlechalik, we can make another distinction, bein hateri bala and bein isri bala. There's a difference between being mavliya, something aser, mavliya, something mutter. So sometimes, let's say chametz. So when I'm kashering chametz for Pesach, so at that point, let's say if I kasher my knife today, chametz is mutter, it's hateri bala. It will be aser on Pesach. But as long as I kasher before the isri chametz kicks in, erev Pesach, it's called hateri bala. Heter bala, it absorbed heter, there are much more leniencies in terms of kashering things. So for that case, a hagal is enough. But when the Gemara says you need libun, that's where it was mavliya, something usr. Let's say the knife was used for treif. That's isur bala, that requires more stringencies. That's what the Gemara is talking about, you require libun. That's just a suggested chiluk. We don't actually pask in that way, but those are two ways, at least Tosa suggests the difference between when you need libun versus when you need hagal. So then the Gemara says, Amarav, Huna Breda of Yeshua, Eitz Parur Magilo Beroschin, Ubeklirishon, Kesavar Kabolo Kachbolta. What's this talking about? So Eitz Parur, she says, talking about a spoon or something used to mix a kadera. So this goes into hot water, boiling a soup. So the din is, you kash it with boiling water as well. You put up a water, you boil it, and dip it in and take it out. Because the klal is kibolo kachbolta, the way it absorbed is the way it's pulled, the way it extracts, it removes the blios. So since it absorbed through boiling, it's pulled through boiling as well. Kibolo kachbolta. So Gemara now says halfway down the page here. He asked the following shayla about kashrin. Honey mani de kunya maul de shamushe bu pischa. What about these kalim made of kunya? What's kunya? So Rashi explains here, it's klei cheres that is covered in some type of lead. So do you go based on the klei cheres, that klei cheres is not kasherable, or do you go based on the lead that is kasherable? So Gemara says, it depends. Depends on which type of lead we're talking about. So Gemara says, if it's yeroka, some type of green lead, I don't know exactly what that means, but it's made of karka, Rashi says here. So that's, Rashi, it absorbs forever. It's impossible to ever extract the blios. Lo tibar l'chal, that was never a shayla. Devade asir. That type of greenish lead, that's asir forever. You can't kasher such lead. Kiti Bailach, when we asked the question, was Uchma v'chivare, black and white type of lead. My, what's the din? So the Gemara says, further, to qualify the question, Heicha de ispe kartufni, when there's some type of cracks of some sort, or little etches, or little lines that you can't, grooves, you can't get things out of that, lo ti bailach, that wasn't a shayla, devade asir, that's certainly usir, if you have these types of grooves in them. Kiti Bailach, when it was a shayla, the shi, when it was smooth, so you have a smooth type of utensil that's covered in lead. So my, what's the din? Now the reason why when they're grooves, you can't kasher because things get stuck inside, you can't get them out of there. You have certain types of utensils that if you can't get the food out, you can't kasher. Because that's always the first step. The first step of kashering through a gala is you first need to clean it. You wait 24 hours and then you kasher. If you can't clean it, there's nothing to do with it. Libun, however, Libun works. Libun is even able to kasher even when the food's still there. You don't have to clean it first. When I kasher my oven, when it's self-clean, I don't need to clean it first. Just turn on the self-clean. Because Libun purges the food. Hagala doesn't purge the food. Hagala just extracts any tam in the walls. So the reason why if there are grooves here, you can't get the food out, Libun won't work. Rather, Hagala won't work. But in theory, Libun would work to really to ruin the food. Either. Now, it's a complicated lemaisa, because certain parts of the oven, it's understood that the door doesn't get the libun to it. So you have to actually clean the door of it, but the rest of the oven gets the temperature you need, and that you would not need to clean. So the Gemara then says, so either way, we have the shayla, ki debailach, deshei mai, if it's a smooth type of utensil that's made of klecheris, but it's covered, it's lined in lead, and white or black lead, that is, can that be kasher? Amalei, chazina lehu, dimidaisu, I've seen this lead, that there's always something, water, oil, juice, something coming out of it all the time. Alma Bali Vasiri, it's also forever, because it's always, no matter how much you clean it, no matter how you kash it, there's always going to be things coming out of it. And since in the essence of this kli, even though the lead on the outside is a type of metal, but since kli charis is on the inside, it's always having something coming out of it, and therefore you can't kasher these types of kalim. It's no different than china. China is a pottery of some sort, but it's covered in glass. It's covered in glass, a similar thing. So since the essence is china, you can never kasher that even during the regular year. So therefore, this is a similar type of case. You can't kasher. So the Gemara now says, Samaishna linen yainesach. So now we just establish that this type of lead-covered earthenware, these china pieces, cannot be kashered. But legaba yainesach, we actually are makel. Samaishna linen yainesach, the Darish Maremar taught us, money de kunya, that you have these types of kalim, which are lined in lead, bein uchmai, bein chivari, bein yiroki, whether the lead was white, black, or green, the din is shari, it's permitted. So how come by Pesach we said it's aser to kasher them, but by Yayin Nesach it's permitted? V'chitem, if you're going to tell me Yayin Nesach derabanan, nowadays Yayin Nesach's derabanan, we're not talking about Yayin Nesach where the goy actually poured the wine for Avodah Zarah, that's a deraisa. But we call Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam, where a guy touches the wine, they moved it, they carried it, they moved it. So that's Stam Yenam, that's the Yai Nesach on a Dirabana level. So maybe the difference is, Chametz is an Isser Deraisa, Yai Nesach, Bizman Zezeh, Din Dirabana. So Gemara says, V'chitema, Yai Nesach Dirabana, and Chametz is Deraisa. No, still nonetheless, we have the concept, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, Kain Deraisa Tikkun. Granted, the Yai Nesach may only be Dirabanan, but they establish all the same rules of a Dirabanan to equate it to that of a Deraisa, Kain Deraisa Tikkun, and therefore it should have the same stringencies as Yai Nesach Deraisa, which would be equivalent to Chametz Deraisa. So Gemara says the distinction is not one of Deraisa versus Dirabanan, rather Amar Lei, Zet Tashmisho Aide Chamin, Vezet Tashmisho Aide Tzonin. We know how it was used, the temperature in which it was used. If you have something cold, so cold doesn't absorb anything, you just wash out and it's fine. The number one question, when you get a question, I got yesterday two questions about fleishiks and milchiks, different things going into. So the shaila is, the guy had a cheese omelet and his kid took a fleishik fork and put it in the milchik omelets. So the first question is, how hot was the omelet? The omelet isn't hot, there's no bleus going from the cheese omelet into the fleishik fork. I said, Mistam, if your kid's eating it, he's not hot enough to cause any bleus. That's always the first question. If it's cold, so that means the fork wasn't treif, and just wash off the fork and it remains fleishiks. So that's always number one. So by the Yai Nesach, it's cold. So there's no kashering, just clean out the pots. But it comes to the chametz, where the kedera were used for hot bread, so that's chamin, and therefore that requires kashering. And since you can kasher these types of kalim, therefore it's stuck forever. So Gemara then says, last few lines before the Mishnah, Amar Le, Amar Rav Bar Abba, Amar Rav Chia Bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel. Kol HaKelim, Shenishtamshu Behen Chametz, Bitzonen, Mishamesh Behen Matzah. Any keli that was used with chametz in cold, I don't know, let's say a bread basket, for example, so that's cold, so you could use it for matzah, just wash it down, and then it's fine. Chutz Min Beis Seor, except for Beis Seor, which is some type of basket used to store yeast, which the chametz is very strong. Hol shechimutze kasha, since the chametz is very potent and strong, so therefore it's aser even to use such baskets, even though it's only used with cold. So Amar Rav Ashi, who base charoses kebeis sor shechimutze kasha dami. Similar to that, a base charoses, which is a type of utensil you use to put vinegar, which is also very strong and potent, even though that's cold, it has the same effect as the sor, as the yeast, and therefore you would not be able to simply just wash it down. You have to kasher it some way. So Amarava, honey, agne, demichuze. These different types of pots or baskets used in the city of Mechuzah, hove tadibir lemelishbu, chamira, since it was used to knead a dough, and there's yeast in the dough when kneading it, umashu, and the people will let the dough rise there, bu chamira kebe soar, it's similar to an area, a basket you'd leave yeast in, shechimute kasha, dami, and therefore this would also require kashering, even though these are, again, three examples that are used in cold, but since they're all very strong and potent, they require kashering, whether it's a basket used for yeast, whether it's a vessel used for vinegar, or whether it's a basket you use to knead the dough and let it rise, all three cases have a din of requiring kashering. So Gemara says pshita. Sorry?
These were klicharis.
These were
klicharis.
Oh, so these are, say, they're klicharis, and they wouldn't require kashering. If they're made of matechas, then it would require kashering. So then the Gemara says, pshita, of course, is obvious. Why tell me this last case here of a basket used to knead and letting it rise? Of course, that's the same din as the base, or what's the chiddush here? So Gemara says it is a chiddush, because now the same, what would I have thought? Kevin deravichei, since these baskets used to knead, this last case, they're very wide. Shalit bei avira allows for airspace to come in. Velo bali, maybe these baskets wouldn't absorb the chametz. Therefore, kamashvam, no, this too has a din of besor and would require kashering. Let me do a quick review. We started off in the beginning. The Gemara said we pass a rava that chametz on Pesach is aser b'mashu. After Pesach, we said we passing like Rabbi Shimon that it's aser only within Knas, which was Be'en. The Tzeroves, we said it's Mutter. And then the Gemara said Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that the Kederos have to be broken. You can't leave it for after Pesach because you can't have it with Bemino. And then Shmuel says you don't have to break it. You can actually leave it because after Pesach, he held that Chametz in the walls of the Kederos is actually Mutter. And the only reason why Paskin in one way was that he was in the house of the city of Rav, who was Lamach, a Chumra, but Mikra didn't Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that Chametz after Pesach is actually Mutter. Then we spoke about the case of the Tanur that was lined in the Fleishiks, and the Milchik's dough, and the Fleishiks dough, and we passed that a person is allowed to actually kasher the oven, even though Rav Bar Ahilai felt otherwise. Then we spoke about the difference between a kedei tanur matachas versus a tanur made of klicheres. Matachas can be kashered, matachas klicheres cannot be kashered. Then we had a distinction of a hesek of a klicheres bimifnim can be kashered, and hesek mibichutz may not kashered. And then we discussed the new knives and Pesach, that person could simply, first we had an opinion of Libun, then Hagala. We pass on the Maisa, all you have to do is Hagala for the entire knife, whether it's the handle, whether it's the blade. And we said Kibolo Kachpota, the way the object absorbs is the way the object is kasher. Then we had a whole long discussion about the Klecheris, which is lined in lead, the green, white, and black type of kalim. And then we finish up by saying the three cases that are similar to, even though normally kalim that are used in cold just needs to be washed down, there are three exceptions. One was the base sor, one was the base charoses, which was the chometz, the vinegar, and the last case was the basket used to knead and let the dough rise. Okay?